The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 2, text number 52, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 9th, 2010, in Lenasia, South Africa.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 2, text number 52. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yada te mohakalilam. Yada te mohakalilam. Buddhir vyati tarishyati. Buddhir vyati tarishyati. Tadagantasi nirvedam. Tadagantasi nirvedam. Shrotavyasya shrutasya cha.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When your intelligence is passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Purport. There are many good examples in the lives of the great devotees of the Lord. Those who became indifferent to the rituals of the Vedas simply by devotional service to the Lord. When a person factually understands Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, he naturally becomes completely indifferent to the rituals, the fruitive activities. Even though an experienced brahmana, Sri Madhavendra Puri, a great devotee and acharya in the mind of devotees, said, Sanja Vandana Badram Astu Bhavato Bho Snana Tubhyang Namo Bodeva Pitarascha Tripana Vidau Nahang Chartum Chalyantam Yatrakapi Nishadya Yadava Kulota Mashyasha Kangsa Dishaha Smaran Smaram Agam Harami Tadalam Manye Kamanyena Me. O my prayers three times a day, all glories to you. O bathing, I offer my obeisances unto you. O demigods, O forefathers, please excuse me for my ability to offer you my respects. Now, wherever I sit, I can simply remember the great descendant of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, and thereby I can free myself from all sinful bondage. I think this is sufficient for me. The Vedic rites and rituals are imperative for neophytes comprehending all times, all kinds of prayer three times a day, taking a bath early in the morning, offering respects to the forefathers, etc. But when one is fully in Krishna consciousness and is engaged in his transcendental loving service, one becomes indifferent to all these regulative principles because he has already attained perfection. If one can reach the platform of understanding by service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, he has no longer to execute different types of penances and sacrifices as recommended in the revealed scriptures. And similarly, if one has not understood that the purpose of the Vedas is to reach Krishna and simply engages in the rituals, etc., then he is uselessly wasting time in such engagements. Persons in Krishna consciousness transcend the limit of Shabda Brahman, or the range of the Vedas and the Upanishads. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha
Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Ditam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Vadan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha.
So there are many different duties given in the Vedas. So many different duties. So what is Krishna's instruction in the Bhagavad Gita? Sarvadhaman Puditjaja, give up all these duties. Just surrender to me. So we really only have one duty. Not that we have different duties. We have only one duty. We have one duty only, and that's to please Krishna. And whatever it takes to please Krishna, we do them. If Krishna tells me to stay with my family and serve my family, I do that. If he tells me to give up my family and take sannyas, I do that. You see, that is Krishna consciousness. Whatever the Lord asks me to do, I immediately do. Because I have one duty and one duty only, and that is to serve Krishna. Arjuna wanted to give up his worldly duties. But Krishna ordered him to continue doing his worldly duties. But actually he was giving up his worldly duties. He was taking only one duty, and that's serving Krishna. So that's the real position. See? That's our only real position, is to serve Krishna. If I think, well, serving Krishna is just one of the many duties I have, I'm sorry, you haven't properly understood what is Krishna consciousness. You have only one duty, and that's to serve Krishna. You may say, but I can't neglect my other duties. Wait a minute, you can neglect your other duty. Because actually you don't. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are perfectly nourished. By serving Krishna, no duties are neglected. But if you neglect Krishna and try to take care of other duties, those duties are imperfect and your service to Krishna is imperfect. So what have you gained? By deprioritizing Krishna, have you gained anything? Nothing. You've spoiled everything. Because you cannot do any duties in this world perfectly unless they're done in Krishna consciousness. Because our duties in this world are based on illusion. I'm this body. You see? If your duty, you do duties simply based on the bodily conception with no Krishna consciousness, then that execution of duties is simply increasing your bodily consciousness. It's increasing your bondage in the cycle of breath and death. So they're not. That is not the way. We have to hear from the Gaudiyas. We have to hear from the Mahajan. We have to become very serious to do whatever it takes to purify our consciousness. Because let's face it, we have been caught up in this cycle of birth and death for millions of lifetimes. Millions and millions of births, we have been caught up in the cycle of birth and death. If we keep doing what we've been doing for these millions of lifetimes, what are we going to get? The same thing we've been getting. Are you satisfied with it or not? Are you happy to have a rotting body that's subject to birth, death, old age and disease? Would you rather have a spiritual body, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge? If you want a spiritual body, then you must do something different in this lifetime. Don't just carry on ordinary bodily duties and think you can become perfect. You have to focus everything for Krishna. Whether you're a householder, a sannyasi, a vanaprastha, a brahmachari, it doesn't matter what your ashram is. You have to learn how to do it purely in Krishna consciousness. And then you'll become perfect in that duty. You'll be the best husband, the best wife, the best father, the best mother, the best son, the best daughter, the best brother, the best sister, the best prime minister, whatever you may be. You'd be the best. If you are completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you will be the best. That's a fact. But if you try to compromise your Krishna consciousness with material duties, you see, you won't be perfect in any way. You'll be fallaciously engaged, not perfectly engaged. So we have to hear from the great acharyas how to become pure in devotional service. This is such an important thing. We gave a seminar recently in the temple. 8 hours simply talking about pure devotional service. You may say, what can you talk about pure devotional service for 8 hours? 8 hours is nothing. We can talk about pure devotional service for 8 million hours. There is so much depth to that topic. That topic is so sweet. It is so transcendental because it is non-different from Krishna. Pure devotional service means to become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's all it means. To where you see Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna at every step. Where your every thought, your every word, your every deed, in every situation, absolutely every situation, is for the pleasure of Krishna. So right now it's just the opposite. I'm thinking of serving myself or my extended self in the form of family, society, and friends. That's called the extended self. That is not pure. People think, well, I'm a karma yogi because I serve my family. No. Your family is an extension of your own senses. Simply serving your family, that's called extended sense gratification. It's just another form of selfishness. It's just extended out a little bit. That's my family. But what is your family? Yashadma budeip kunapedri taduke svadi kalatre dishu boma ijadi yatirta budi salile nakar hachij. That person who considers his bodily bag of three elements, mucus, bile, and air, to be his very self, who considers who is his family based on the body, who considers the place of his birth to be sacred because that's where I grew up and drove my tricycle around the block, therefore it's a holy place. And who goes to a holy place simply for darshan or for taking bath, but he doesn't want to hear from the sadhus who are teaching. Such a person, Bhagavad Gita, is simply a cow and an ass. So who is the actual family? All living entities. Our actual family is all living entities. Well, I want to take good care of my family. Great. Then be a preacher. Serve every single living entity throughout the totality of existence. Then you're being a good family member. You see? That's what it means to serve the family. You have to understand, what is the meaning of family? If my conception of the family is based on this blood and flesh, that means I think that I'm the body. You see? And that means I'm a cow and an ass. I'm not even a human being. If I think my family members or my blood relatives, and I'm not even a human being, according to Bhagavatam. You see? We have to understand, see, tell me when I should revert to questions. You can just give me a signal, it's question time. Because these topics are so transcendental, they're so far beyond time that once I get going in this, I could go for hours and not even realize hours are going by because this is when you enter into these transcendental topics, you're actually transcending the dimension of time and space. You're entering in another dimension of consciousness. So, We have to understand what is our actual family, and we should work for the benefit of all of our family members by making the whole world Krishna conscious. That is true family life. Make the whole world Krishna conscious. Then you're in full, then you're properly engaged in family life. But don't we're not saying neglect your wife and kids. No, they're natural objects of affection. But you engage your whole family in awakening your dormant Krishna consciousness and working for the benefit of all living entities. That is real family life, you see. Engage your entire family in the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And if they're not interested, well, keep planting the seeds. He who is more determined wins in the end. They say we don't care. We're not, you know, we don't believe in your Hare Krishna movement. And, you know, we think we don't even actually like you going to the Hare Krishna temple. You know, you may have some relatives like them. But just keep planting those seeds. Keep feeding them prasadam. Keep planting the seeds, because this movement will predominate. It is predicted by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. It may seem impossible in the modern day world when we're just a small little tiny movement out of millions and billions of people. We're hardly even a bleep on the radar screen. I mean, we're such a tiny little movement, you know, a blip on the radar screen. Very tiny little movement. Although I was encouraged, there was an article on by some religious professor on CNN, and he mentioned Krishna. That some people worship God as Krishna. I thought that was encouraging on CNN. And one of their columns, the name Krishna actually was on CNN today. That was encouraging. So that's a sign that, you know, the Krishna consciousness has entered. The seed of Krishna consciousness has entered now. It's now being there in the media. You know, Krishna as a name for God is out there in the media. So that's a good sign. It's a very encouraging sign. They're talking about Krishna as a name for God in the media right now. Today, in the media, in the news media, the name Krishna is being broadcast. So, Krishna Das Kaviraj has given us a very wonderful prediction. Sach jana durjana pangu jadda anagana Premavanyaya Dubaila Jagatara Jana. Anybody speak Bengali here? Any Bengalis? No Bengali? Yeah. So I will translate. Sat Jana means the pious man. The Sat Jana. And by the rules of Sandhi, Sat Jana becomes Sat Jana. So the Sat Jana, the pious man. Durjana, the bad man, the demons, the Dur man. The Diskritinas, you see. The Durjana, the bad guys. You see, the Asuras. So the pious men, Sajjana, the Durjana, Sajjana, Durjana, Pangu, the lame men, Jada, the dumb men, Anda, the blind men, Pandu, Jada, Anda, Gana. Everyone throughout the entire universe will be drowned in this inundation of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, which is a gigantic tidal wave of love of God. Prema Vanyaya Dubaila. You see? Prema Vanyaya means Prema Tsunami. A big, huge tsunami of Prema. Sweeping. I have a photograph of that big tsunami that came in a few years ago. I think it was a real photograph. Could have been doctored, but it showed. It's from way up high in a building. It showed this hotel, about five stories high building, I guess, on the beach. And the wave was like five stories high, you know, coming in. There was cars driving down the road like a normal day. And now there's this huge wave coming in. But that tsunami was nothing. How many people were inundated by that tsunami? Very small percentage of the world population got inundated by that tsunami. But now there's a much bigger tsunami coming that will completely sweep not only this planet, but the entire universe, all the way from Brahmaloka to Patalaloka. This entire universe will be inundated by this wave. You see, that wave is the Krishna consciousness movement. So, and sometimes you feel, well, It's like the airport that everybody's hooping and hollering about the World Cup. They're blowing horns and they're dancing. It's like they're having their Sankirtan, World Cup Sankirtan in the airport. Dancing in circles and going like crazy in the airport. I mean, tomorrow will be even worse. I hope I can get there before it gets too crazy. Get in and out before it gets... We're going to Hong Kong tomorrow. But the desire to sing and dance and celebrate is there, you see. But what are they celebrating? Kicking a ball. You see? So we're kicking a much bigger ball than they're kicking. Our soccer game, it was described on the radio show also. We have a much bigger soccer game. They're kicking a soccer ball, we're kicking the whole Earth planet. You see, we're much bigger kickers than those kickers. The Sankirtan kickers are the biggest kickers. You see? Because we're kicking the whole planet for Lord Chaitanya. You see? Right now, the demons think they're controlling it, and it appears that they are, but actually, the big kickers, the Sankirtan kickers, are gaining their momentum right now, and we're going to take over the planet Earth, Prabhupada, in due course. It may take a few thousand years, but at least we can plant the seeds now, you see. It may take a few thousand years, or who knows, it could happen in our lifetimes. You see, it could happen in our lifetimes. We could have a Vaishnava government here in South Africa within our lifetimes. It's possible. Anything's possible. I mean, whoever thought that Nelson Mandela, when he was in prison, could actually take over the government? It was inconceivable, you see. So now we're in a prison also, a prison of sorts. We're imprisoned by a materialistic culture all over the whole planet Earth. So it seems impossible. How could we? We're stuck. We have to earn our living by working jobs for them under their direction. You know what I mean? We're like prisoners in this materialistic culture. We're like a big jailhouse, the modern day civilization. If you want to call it civil, I mean, what's civil about it? Really, it's not very civil. Civilization is a misnomer, I think. We need to come up with a better word like rascalization. But anyway, just think Nelson Mandela, you know, sitting in a prison, and now so many years later, he took over the whole country. So right now we're in the prison of this material culture, and if we are as determined as Nelson Mandela was, you see, he was very determined to end apartheid. If we can be that determined to put an end to this material civilization by preaching Krishna consciousness, then we can also be successful. You see, we have to be as determined as he was. You see, he was a very determined man, there's no doubt. He'll be noted in the history for his determination. So we should be even more determined to take over this world for Srila Prabhupada, to bring Vaishnava culture to every town, to every village, to every school, every movie, every drama, every TV show, everywhere Krishna consciousness. That should be our determination, you see. So, how's our time doing?
Getting on with
time for questions now? Okay. All right now, questions. Hadi Bol Maharaj said, okay, if we make a tilak of water only. Yes, but if you can go with clay, that's much better. I told this story the other day, maybe not all of you heard, but I used to go to work. I guess I was wearing water tilak in those days. I would go with a water tilak to work, but one day I thought, well, let me just go with regular clay. I mean, that, you know, that's the real me is, you know, visible tilak, that's the real me. Yes. I've been going undercover long enough. I want to come out, you know, and be me, maybe myself today. I'm going to wear my tilak to work. So I was a telesalesman for MCI Corporation, and a big corporation at that time in the U.S. That day I had my tilak on, I sold like crazy. I was really empowered that day. I had my tilak on, and wow, I was really like one sale, another sale. I was selling like hotcakes, you know. My boss was amazed. He said, "Wow." He said, "I don't know what that is on your forehead, but you got to wear it every day." So it's okay if you make water tila. You know, it's also okay if you come out of the closet and put on clay tila. You'd be surprised what happens when you come out of the closet. I mean, we're making a revolution, you know. You can be an undercover agent for a while, but it's, you know, with your water tea like. But it's nice to come out of the closet and, you know, push forward the revolution. It's nice. So, yeah, it's okay. But when you want to come out of the closet, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. All right. Lord Sri Krishna says that transcendental knowledge can free us from material knowledge. It is also stated that transcendental knowledge can be acquired through devotional service. Is this knowledge acquired through devotional service the same as the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, or is it different? Is it higher? No, it is the same knowledge that you read in the Gita, but simply reading it, it is theoretical knowledge. It is concepts that you can think about and talk about. But when you actually engage in devotional service, then it becomes practical. I'll give you an example. Just like in chemistry, you go to the lecture and you can study that H2O equals water. You can even put it on the exam and get a passing grade, you know, H2O equals water. But I guarantee you, when you go to the laboratory and you mix two parts hydrogen with one part oxygen, and you actually get water in your test tube, you go, "Wow, this is real stuff here. This isn't just some make-believe formulas. This is real. I can drink this," you see? So by engaging devotional, studying the Gita, that's the lecture section of the course, engaging devotional service, now you're in the laboratory where you actually experience firsthand the theories. You can actually feel it within your heart. You can taste it. You can taste Krishna consciousness, not just think about it. You see? You can think about strawberry ice cream and you can taste it, right? What's better? Would you rather just think about it or you'd rather taste it? I'd rather taste it. So, especially if it's organic strawberry ice cream offered to the deities with milk from protected cows. Wow. Homemade, you know. So, of course, not too much, you know. We take too much, it becomes sense enjoyment. So anyway, yeah, it's the same knowledge, but it's now it becomes realized knowledge. Hare Krishna Maharaj, it is said that in Ekadasi one can offer grains to the deities of Radha Krishna, but not to Guru. How can one offer without saying the Guru Pranam Mantra? You can offer the Guru Pranam Mantra, and the Guru will take it and he'll hand it up. He won't eat it as he's handing it up. That's all. It's like you're able to offer it. Sorry. He can also offer it.
Just one quick announcement I have to make.
Quick announcement?
Okay. Does anyone have a car XFX108 GP? Yeah. Any devotees? Silver Polo. XFX108, no? Okay, that's good.
Okay, is this the only questions?
Yeah.
Oh, more are coming, okay, good. Alright, how does one get the mercy of Sri Radha? Beg for him. My dear mother, Prabhupada taught us how to get her mercy. My dear mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. That's how to get her mercy. And then she will tell Krishna that, "My dear Krishna, here's a devotee. I would like you to introduce you to this devotee. He's a better devotee than me." That's how Radha, that's a good answer. You really get Radharani's mercy when she introduces you to Krishna as being a better devotee than she is. So all you have to do is ask her, "My dear mother Radharani," the Prabhupada told us exactly how to pray. "My dear mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna." That's all you have to do to get her mercy. What are the symptoms of an advancing grihaspa, grihasta, husband or father. That advancing grihasta, husband or father, is no longer he's not so much interested in material sense gratification as he used to be. In other words, he's already free or is becoming free from all desires for material sense gratification. Do all living entities go back to Godhead? Yes, eventually. But for some of them, it'll be millions of lifetimes. So don't just sit around and wait for fate to take you back. Take an active participation in Krishna consciousness movement, and you'll be qualified to go back in this lifetime. Sometimes we may get caught up in family traditions, which have no relevance to Krishna consciousness, weddings, gatherings, etc. Please help us to give these up. Well, you could participate if you find it favorable for preaching. But if you're just going there and to fill obligations, you're not able to do any preaching, then what's the use? I mean, if by doing that you can actually, you know, have some influence, and there's no harm. But actually, Christ said, both the dead bury the dead. Somebody came wanting to join his movement. He wanted to come a Hare Jesus, Christian. And he said, but first I have to bury my dead relative, Lord Jesus. He said, let the dead bury the dead. In other words, you just stay right here. Don't you have to worry about that kind of stuff. No. You just surrender to me. You don't have to worry about all those obligations. So technically, we don't have any obligations, but we may engage in them if that is favorable for our preaching Krishna consciousness. That's the priority. If by fulfilling certain obligations, you can do it in such a way that it's actually favorable for introducing those people to Krishna consciousness, then it's all right. But if it's not, why waste your time and energy? Should we ever be satisfied with our service to Srila Prabhupada's movement? Well, if you're not satisfied, you're doing something wrong. We should always, Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But so that in one sense, you must always feel satisfied. And in the other sense, you should never feel satisfied you're doing enough. Because if I think I'm doing enough, then I won't really feel satisfied. I'm thinking, well, you know, I've advanced enough in Krishna consciousness now. Now it's time to focus on some other things in my life. I've advanced enough. So, but no, one should never think that he's Krishna conscious enough. What's the example? Now, what do you think? Is Krishna fully Krishna conscious? Does anybody know? Krishna is all cognizant, right? He knows everything, right? Sarvagya. So, it seems that Krishna would be fully Krishna conscious, doesn't it? I mean, it makes sense that Krishna must be fully Krishna conscious. But you know what? Prabhupada describes how Krishna is not fully Krishna conscious. You say, what? Here's how. Because even though Krishna fully knows himself, he's fully Krishna conscious. Guess what's constantly happening at every second to Krishna's glories? They're expanding exponentially at every nanosecond. So even as Krishna has fully grasped all his glories, they've expanded again. Another infinite level of expansion has taken place. And so Krishna is always trying to catch up with his cognizance of his ever-expanding glory is always running behind his ever-expanding glory. Do you understand? Therefore, Krishna is never fully Krishna conscious, even though he's always trying to be. He's never fully Krishna conscious. So how could we be satisfied that I'm Krishna conscious enough? Would that make any sense? It would mean we're in the mode of what? Ignorance. Basically. If you think you're Krishna conscious enough, you know, everything I'm doing is fine, I'm doing everything as good as I could be doing it, well, I'm sorry, I have to tell you, Prabhu Ramanaji, you're in the mode of ignorance. You're in the mode of ignorance. You should always be striving to be better, better, better in everything you do. How does somebody become a great artist or a great poet? They're never satisfied they're doing good enough. They always want to do better, a good guitar player, you see. How does somebody become super excellent? They never satisfy they're doing well enough. They always want to do better, 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 better. Perfectionist, called a perfectionist. Every one of us should be a perfectionist. We're never satisfied that I'm doing my service well enough. How I can do better? Okay. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that one should only have children if one can deliver them. In this age, it is so hard to bring up Krishna conscious children. Should we bring up children? In this age, for our own selfish need of having children, what would you advise of? Then just bring him up properly. That's all. Actually, I had a whole session last night. It was a bunch of families, but all the small children. We only have one small child. I appreciate you're here tonight. Thank you very much. We like to have the small children. Very good. We're so happy you've come tonight. But last night we had about maybe 10 of them, you see. And you know how there's a little kitty scene, little kitties get doing these little things, and it becomes like a whole other level of the whole other thing happening then, you know. So I gave a very strong lecture last night about how to make the children Krishna conscious. One little boy was misbehaving with his father. The host's son wanted to sit there and play with his father in the middle of the lecture. I said, come here and you sit right here and be a brahmachari. I had him sit like a yogi, right at my feet. I said, now you be an example for everyone how to sit like a brahmachari and hear nicely. So I had a whole thing, and I gave a whole lecture. It's on, you can get the MP3 if you want. And give me a blank disc and I'll make a copy of it for you. I gave a whole lecture. This is actually, I learned it from my wife, I'll be honest. I learned from Vishnu Priya Manaji. And she applied it on the train, one of my disciples, Abhay Charandas in Austin, how to raise her son. And the results were amazing. This method of Krishna Ganga's child raising that she taught him and that I explained last night is very powerful and very effective. If you'll apply this technique, and I don't have time to get into it now, but you can just give me a blank disc, somebody, and then you can distribute it to everybody in the whole thing, by one copy. But this methodology is very powerful. You just have to know how to do it. It's not difficult. It's just like learning how to do anything else, how to cook and all, how to make grunga potatoes or anything. If you just follow the right technique, you can have children who are very advanced in Krishna consciousness. How can we solve the problems if there is a communication barrier? Well, that is the problem. Solve that problem and all their problems will automatically be solved. So that I gave a whole seminar about that also in Phoenix, Mauritius, on devotee relationships. Because what does Krishna say? Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhaktanam cha ye bhakta, te me bhakta tamamata. You know the Sanskrit? Ye me bhakta jana parata. He's saying, O Sanaprita, Krishna talking to Arjuna in the Adi Purana. He says, O Sanaprita, the one who is my devotee. And then the next line, Na me bhaktas. He's not my devotee. The one who is my devotee is not my devotee. But he says, but the one who is the devotee of my devotee is my devotee. So what is the communication barrier? I'm not your devotee. That's why there's a communication barrier. I'm not devoted to you. I want to lord it over. I'm giving an example now. I hope I'm not guilty of this, but I'm using myself as an example. If I have a communication barrier with you, it's because I want to lord it over you instead of serving you. You understand? If I have a communication barrier, it's because I want to lord it over you instead of serving you. So as soon as you realize I have to be a devotee of the devotees, and you actually strive to put it into practice every day with every devotee in every situation as best as you can. We won't be perfect in the beginning, that's a fact. But if you keep trying, you'll get better at it. I guarantee you. If you try to be a servant of the devotee, being a devotee of the devotees, all these communication barriers will melt and there'll be no problems. It'll be Vaikuntha. I promise you. Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, can you please explain why Junior Haridas was instructed by Lord Chaitanya to end this life and roam around in a subtle body as a ghost? Because he spoke with a woman. That was an example. Can you imagine? He was an old woman. He approached her begging charity. That's all he did. In the Vedic culture, the brahmacharis did that. They would go door to door and beg, Mataji, can you please give some rice for Guru Maharaj's ashram? Or some vegetables, dakshina. Actually, it was simply making an example. Actually, he had done nothing wrong, Junior Haridas. But Lord Chaitanya was just making a point. And he got to be the one who made... He was used by Lord Chaitanya to make this point. So it was a great blessing, actually. He received a great blessing. And he was serving... He was back singing for Lord Chaitanya in his subtle form. So there was nothing lost for Junior Haridas. But this is not for us to imitate. It appears that one of my godbrothers imitated them. Vishnajana Swami. He had an actual fall down, apparently. This is the leading theory. And actually there was a morning walk in Mayapur. They were asking, the sannyasis were walking with Prabhupada, and it was asked about falling down, and Prabhupada made the same strong point, but then when they should end their life, but then when it was clarified, Prabhupada said, no, nobody should do that. But Vishnajana had already left from the walk, and then after that, no one ever saw him again. And they were told that some sannyasi, Western sannyasi, had gone to the sacred place and had tied some weights on himself and jumped in the river. So Prabhupada does not want. There should be no question of committing suicide for anyone. This is a pastime, an example which is not meant for us to imitate. Suicide actually generally means that one has to become a ghost. So no one should ever think of committing suicide. Junior Haridas committed suicide in a certain situation at the holy river. He gained a different destination. Perhaps Vishnajana also did. There's a report that Prabhupada saw he came to Prabhupada in his subtle form or a spiritual body. So I don't know if these are true, but there's some reports given like that. But we should not, this is not for us to imitate. If one has difficulty, then one should beg forgiveness and take help from senior devotees. There's no question of committing suicide. No one should commit suicide. It's much worse to commit suicide than it is to just try to live with your mistake and rectify it. That's a much easier thing to do than to commit suicide and to be roaming around in a ghostly body in a very hellish condition. Okay, Hare Krishna Maharaj, you spoke about duty. So how do we as youth in Krishna conscious families perform our duties and also what really are our duties, especially when our family members are devotees. Well, the easiest way to know your duty is to take a spiritual master and just do whatever he says. He's Krishna's representative. You just take a spiritual master, that's all. Follow his instructions. Because that's what Krishna said. You have to be the devotee of my devotee. So you have to take a spiritual master and then follow him. And because family, the greater family, is all living beings. Just do whatever your spiritual master orders you to do. If he tells you to stay with your family, you do that. If he tells you to get a college degree, you do that. If he tells you to drop out of college and go on his stupid books, you do that. Whatever he tells you to do, you do that. And he can be a different thing. There's no set formula. Each individual can have a different order depending on what Krishna wants that individual to do. The spiritual master will take inspiration from Krishna, how to guide the disciple. So what your specific duty is, you ask your spiritual master. If you don't have a spiritual master, you should get one. Because that's the Vedic system. That everyone should have a spiritual master. Without having diksha, you are considered an animal, actually. Once born means animal. Twice born means human being. So everyone should become twice born. Take a spiritual master, and then you take instructions from your spiritual master on how you should conduct yourself in relation to your family. Of course, the general instructions are there. The Vedic culture is there in the Shastra. One should offer obeisances to one's mother and father. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada told us to do them. He told Brahmananda and Gargamuni when their initiation to offer obeisances to their mother when she came. I also did that when my parents came. They kind of liked it, actually. They didn't know what it was, but they were very happy. I bowed down at their feet and they had a big smile on their face. And they liked it. So yeah, we should learn in Krishna consciousness, we should be more respectful of our parents. We should bow down at their feet. So our questions are around, how's our time doing?
We've got 10 minutes.
10 minutes left? Yeah. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 14, Krishna says that happiness and suffering come like the seasons of winter and summer.
Right.
So how do devotees, or why do devotees suffer sometimes such extreme situations? And how should devotees deal with these situations?
Well, a devotee, as long as we have a material body, suffering will come. That is the law of the material nature. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Of course, devotees will generally be more healthy because they live a more healthy life. A God-conscious life means they naturally become more healthy than they would have been. But still, even if you can have a healthy Krishna-conscious life, and still disease will come. It's like Prabhupada had heart attack, diabetes. You know, his body completely stopped operating, and he left it. His body couldn't function properly anymore. That happens to everyone. So these are the laws of the material nature. As long as we're in this material world, it's expected. We'll have disease, we'll have old age, and we'll have death. So how does a devotee deal with it? Tate nukam pamsu sumikshavano punjana evatma kritam vabhakam tadvagvapuvir vidadang namaste jiveta yomukti pade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, those persons who are constantly offering you respectful obeisances while they continue to suffer the reactions for their past misdeeds are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So, The right way to deal with suffering is just to continue offering your respect to Krishna, understanding that I deserve this, I deserve actually much more than that, but Krishna has kindly minimized my sinful reactions. Just take it as Krishna's blessing that your reactions have been minimized, and whatever suffering you're undergoing, that's for your benefit, to help you become purified of your past sins and become more qualified for Krishna consciousness. It happens. It's not easy when it happens, though. It's easy to talk about it now, but when the pain is actually there, it's very difficult. That's why we have to constantly remind ourselves of these points. You see? Kunti was begging for difficulty. She found it more favorable for Krishna consciousness. How can we stay steady through all varieties of circumstances? Don't get carried away when things are going great. Don't become giddy or intoxicated when things are going great. Stay sober. When the going gets really... When things are going great, don't get all excited and happy. Yeah, I am God after all, like that, you know. Just keep a humble, sober mood. And because I guarantee you, now you're enjoying today, but tomorrow the suffering's going to come again. So if you get elated today, tomorrow you're going to be depressed. So don't get elated when things are going great. Just say, Krishna, I don't deserve this. Please help me to use it in your service. In this way, by being sober when good things come, you can remain sober when the bad things come and not become depressed. Kindly tell us the pastimes of Radharani. In how many sentences? Tell you the pastimes of Radharani, we're talking about unlimited pastimes. Kindly tell us the pastimes of Radharani. You realize I would take all of eternity and I still could even begin. You understand? All I know about Radharani is that she's the most amazing girl in all of existence. That I know. She's the most amazing girl of all of existence. I first encountered Radharani in a painting. I have it on those of you who get Thought for the Day, it's the painting that I have on the top of Thought for the Day. That painting brought me to Krishna consciousness. I had it in a big poster. And back in 1968, I didn't know about Radharani. I had a copy of the Gita. I wasn't Prabhupada's Gita at the time, but Radharani wasn't mentioned. I had no idea who was this girl. I knew it was Krishna, but I was obviously, this was a devotee, and she was in love with him. I mean, you know, obviously this was his girl. And I was amazed. The way she was looking at Krishna just completely enchanted me. I looked at her simply to... I looked at her to understand, to try to understand what she was feeling when she looked at Krishna. I was enchanted by the way she looked at Krishna. And I'm still enchanted by that. So, for me, the pastime of Radharani that has captured my heart and my consciousness is that pastime of the way she is looking at her beloved Govinda there on the bank of the Jamuna. It's like eternally happening within my heart, that pastime. So, that pastime is so deep, I haven't really gone beyond it. But I don't need that one pastime of her. The way she's looking at Govinda is enough to satisfy me for all of eternity. I mean. So that's what I'm, her special quality is her love for Krishna. No one loves her like she loves him. We have four more questions here, then we're going to end it. Okay, please relate to us the detail. Oh, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go into the detail. You have to look that up in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Mm-hmm. Okay. the 10 demons of Vrindavan, and please tell us what that you can take Bhakti Chaitanya Swami's. He's given that in detail. That's a whole, he gave a whole course on it. For, you know, it's a whole college course. I took that course. It's not like a 5-minute thing. Tell us the 10 demons of Vrindavan and what they represent. If you really want to know that, you can. Bhakti Chaitanya Swami is expert. Ask him that question when he comes here, what, twice a year? How often?
Once a month or every few months.
Oh, once every few months?
Yes.
Oh, very good. Yeah, you can ask him this question. He's more qualified to answer that than I am. I took his course. He studied in detail because he teaches the course. You can ask him that question. Okay. Tell us the pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit. Look that up in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. Please tell us about Krishna's different flutes. I'm not an expert on Krishna's different flutes. But I do know this, that the bamboos are standing in in Braj Mandal, the bamboos are standing very tall because they're very proud that one of their family members is Krishna's flute. And if you ask them if they'd like to change their rasa and be a gopi, they wouldn't be interested. Because they feel being a flute is better than being a gopi. Because the gopis only get Krishna's lips every now and then. But the flutes gets constantly. One of their own family members is constantly getting Krishna's lips. And they feel the most dear than the best rasa of all. Actually, that's shanta rasa. It's one way, in one way, Prabhupada described it as shantara, to serve in neutrality, like a rock, you know, that Krishna sits on. Or you could say it's servitude, but they're not actively serving; it's just, you know, passive serving. So that sometimes that's described as shantara, but that they feel they're in the highest of all rasas. For them, that's the highest rasa, the flute family. You see. So anyway, we'll stop here. And we thank you all very much for your participating in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly make it your life and soul. And you know, your only love in life is to become Krishna conscious and to make this Krishna consciousness movement a grand success. So we thank you once again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
His greatest Sankarta Guru ki jai.